You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I'm halfway through my way too big energy drink as I was up way too late yesterday.
That thing, when you open that energy drink, it scares me. It pops like that's just no. That's not healthy. And that's not even a bad one. When you first open that thing, it sounds like a firecracker.
Oh, it's a pop.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how you can drink that stuff. Why not just drink coffee like a man?
See, I will tell you on coffee. I like coffee. Like, but I'm also somebody, energy drinks and coffee, they don't really affect me. I love a good cup of coffee on a cold night.
See,
I
did have a cup of coffee the other night at like 7.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what? She's like, it's 7 o'clock. You got to go to bed in like 2 hours. I'm like, yeah.
I'll be fine.
I'll be all right. Like, coffee in the morning hits different than coffee at night. And I can't explain it. Like, it doesn't wake me up like it does in the morning.
And I will tell you, and this is really a big thing. Like, I drink coffee. I get it. You know, the whole thing. I hate the taste of it afterwards.
Really?
I need to desperately brush my teeth. It will bother me the rest of the day.
I think you drink the wrong coffee.
You're probably not wrong,
I can taste it,
and I hate the flavor. I will tell you, though, driving in this morning, I was close because it's rainy. It's a little cold. And I'm like,
yeah,
it'd probably be nice to have like a large cup of coffee or something like that. And I was just like, no, I'm okay.
I have 2 cups this morning. I'm feeling great.
See, I'm a slow drinker too. Like, I can't burn through like cups of coffee like other people. I'll sip on like one for 2 hours.
Usually, I'm kind of the same way because I have one of those nice insulated cups, and like it just takes too long to cool off, and then all of a sudden it's cool, and you just got to like chug it, or else it'll just get too cool.
Yeah,
like there's that happy medium where you have like 30 minutes, and it'll stay that nice temperature, and that's the window, and then you know by that time it's like 7 o'clock, and I'm like, well, I'm still like I'm not tired, but like. I got a whole day ahead of me still. Like, it's only 7 o'clock. Like, so yeah. Then the second one comes in, and even the third one every once in a while.
Even the third one once in a while.
Listen, I'm not. I like the afternoon nap every once in a while, but like,
it's fair.
Sometimes it wrecks the whole day.
No, you're absolutely
right. Did it yesterday, and then I almost forgot the Sabres played.
And speaking of the Sabres,
speaking of those Buffalo Sabres,
good for them.
Big win.
And it is a big win. 5-1 over Ottawa. They were great on the power play as well. What, 2 for 3 or 2 for 4?
Two for four. I don't know. I got to
check that now.
Two power play goals on the power play. One night. What happened? Where'd that come from? That's great. Jason Zucker, awesome on the power play. Incredibly good.
They look
never
good.
Take him off the power play.
They look good against a division rival, a team that is sort of in the same spot as you are. And you know what, though? This is, I think, going to be a frustrating season for Sabres fans, and I don't mean the sense of, like, they're going to be bottom of the league, which they had the potential to be last night if they lost in regulation and San Jose won. I didn't even check if San Jose won or not. They did, actually. So there was a chance if they lost yesterday in regulation, they would have been bottom of the league. But they're keeping themselves around. Where I'm saying they're going to be a frustrating team, and I'm happy to be proven wrong at some point, is I think now they're just going to be an average team in the NHL. They're going to be able to go on these win streaks. We've already seen it. They won 3 in a row last week. And then they're also going to go on some of these stinkers. And I'm really glad Lindy Ruff is tinkering with the lineup. And we're going to listen to a clip he had in the postgame coming up here later on in the show. But I like that he's aggressive.
Yeah.
It is a complete 180 from what we heard for 2 seasons with Don Granato, where Paul's brought it up a lot.
Let him grow. Let him get chemistry. Let him just gel together. No. If it's clearly not working.
We're moving.
Like, there was a clear problem with Dylan Cousins. Right? Yeah. It was not working. And I'm not saying it is now, but him reunited with Petrarca and Quinn like he has been at times over the past few games, because it's not like... That's the one thing that a lot of coaches do now, and Lindy Ruff had kind of started doing right away back when he was with his first stint with the Sabres, was juggling lines throughout the game. And Cousins, I can't remember if he started with Quinn and Paterka last night, but he definitely played some meaningful minutes with the two of them throughout the night. And he started with them on Saturday in Detroit, and he looked okay. Like, he's looked good with the two of them like they did a couple seasons ago. Quinn is still, I think, a little bit of the problem. Just because of the fact of his speed is not there.
His skating is a problem.
Yeah. And it's, and it's, he doesn't trust
himself.
Yeah.
You can see he does not trust himself.
Right.
He's not shooting like he used to. He's indecisive a lot of the time.
And I think that's a thing with time, but I think it's also the fact that those two injuries he had came so close back to back, even though it was almost a year apart, in terms of being on the ice and playing, he hurt himself in the offseason and then comes back and 16, 17 games in, re-injures the same injury. That's got to do a lot to your mental game of like, you know, man, what am I doing? Did I do something wrong? Is there something wrong with me? Like, and then that plays into now.
And a lot of us do forget about it, how grueling the recovery process can be.
Especially for an ankle injury in hockey.
Yep, and a young athlete as well. It's not like he was 28. You know, I've been there, done that. He's still, when he had the first injury, it was he was still trying to make his mark in the league.
Right now he's 23, so that's 2 years ago. So you're talking about a 21-year-old having his first big season in the league, and then in that offseason he gets injured and he misses the next potential jump.
Because we
saw that jump from Paterka, last year. And you got to wonder, could Quinn have had that had he not been hurt?
His shot is so good.
Oh my, yeah.
Watching Paterka play
is so good.
He's been quiet a little bit leading into last night's game.
But he had two goals last night and an assist.
Yep, 3-point game, and his shot is spectacular.
Yeah.
He is so much fun to watch. I will say, real quick on the power play, Paul had this last night. Over the last five games, the Sabres are 5-for-17 on the power play. It's 29.4%. That's sixth in the league during that time period.
That's good.
That's very, very
good.
And
if that can continue, if that trend can continue, you're going to forget all about the first 5-6 games that there was no power play goals in 23 attempts.
They look active. You're getting different. Now you are getting different guys scoring on the power play.
Well, right. I mean, look at Paterka's.
Before it was just Zucker.
Look at Paterka's second goal last night. That was a beautiful feed from Thompson, a great setup, and a great screen from Jason Zucker. I mean, Zucker was quintessential to all of their power play goals so far this season. Last night, assisted Paterka's first one, and then, as I just said, he screened Ullmark. Ullmark couldn't even see Paterka's shot. There was so much right on that power play. And again, it's the Senators, so you do have to wonder, like...
But they are a team with you. I mean, like, that's more my thing, is they're a team around your ability.
But at the same time, you've always handled them. Over the past few seasons, despite how up and down the Sabres have been, they've always handled the Senators. It's always been either a win or a very close game.
Yep.
You never really get blown out by them. And that's been kind of the story for their entire history. That's why there's such a tense rivalry there. They always have either frustrating games or very close games. And even last night, aside from scoring five goals, you had Jordan Greenway and Dennis Gilbert getting under the skin of Brady Tkachuk, which was fantastic. I mean, that took him out of the game essentially for at least 7 minutes of ice time.
And
total.
Let's not act like, you know, the Sabres were dominating possession and just all over them. It's 5-1, but Luukkonen has to make 37 saves.
And he made a huge save on that. Was it a breakaway or a 2-on-1? Where he has the blocker save. I don't know if you saw that one, but
I did not.
He was diving across the ice and threw out his blocker and made a great save into the corner. It was a good game from everyone. I'm not trying to sound so, you know, inflated here, but at the same time, it's like, if you just do that night in and night out, that's the consistency that Lindy Ruff is trying to strive for with these guys. And that's the consistency they've needed for the past 5, 6, 7 years.
They are getting helped by no one in the Atlantic really drifting away.
Right, yeah.
You're not seeing...
The Bruins, what's going on there?
You're not seeing the Tampa Bay's, Toronto's, Boston's all of a sudden like, oh, they're in their complete own tier, they're 8-2, and you're playing for a wild card. Everyone's in the same area, but to Paul Hamilton's point, we had him on yesterday, you're still in a spot, though. You're going to have to jump multiple teams. It's not like they made a ton of ground last night. They really didn't.
On one hand, they did, and on one hand, they didn't. Because while they're still in... If you look at the NHL standings site and you look at the wild card rankings, they're eighth in terms of wild card, not in terms of position in the Atlantic. In the Atlantic, they're much lower than eighth, or in the East, I should say. Sorry. Now, in the Eastern Conference, they are 14th. But if you look at the wild card standings, they are 1 point behind the Bruins. 2 points. Sorry, two points. I can't do math. It's fine. They're 2 points behind the Bruins. The Bruins have 13. The Sabres have 11. Between them and the Bruins, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams.
But you're all clumped together within 1 to 2 points.
They're all, yes. The Senators are one of those teams. The Senators are at 12 points right now. The Sabres are at 11. That was a huge win in terms of getting back on the stat sheet in terms of points.
Yeah.
Like that was very important for the Sabres last night. One, to beat them, and two, to not let, I mean, there was really never a chance for this, but not potentially let the Senators creep back in and get overtime and at least get a loser point. Because then it's still, you're not really making up ground on them specifically. But you look at all the other teams from last night or just from their recent games, the Blue Jackets just lost in overtime. The Islanders did win last night.
Ugh.
The Penguins lost in overtime. And the Red Wings won.
Every time the Islanders win, I just my day gets ruined.
It was you know what? It was a good win, in my opinion. Bo Horvat had a crazy good shootout move. It was a nice move.
Good for him.
Yeah, well, okay. Be that way, I guess.
I can't stand the Islanders.
Listen, the Islanders make me mad, but when they play good hockey, you know what? Good for them.
It is an important stretch of games here, though, for the Sabres. Obviously, you get the win last night in Ottawa. But now you go to the Rangers.
That's going to be tough.
That's going to be tough. Then home to Calgary.
The Sabres
home to Montreal as well. Monday, next Monday, 12:30 puck drop.
Oh,
they're like the only early game.
Oh, it's Veterans Day. That's
right. Yes.
I was going to say, why are we at 12:30?
Well, I was looking at that. I'm like, they're 12:30. The next game starts at 7. What is happening here?
Standalone game against Montreal on Veterans Day. That's a good spot.
That's a very good spot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but Montreal's not been good.
No.
I'm not saying you've got to beat the Rangers in MSG.
You got to get a point.
But if you can get a point, then beat Calgary, then beat Montreal, again, you're just stacking points. You're keeping yourself within that race.
Yeah.
For the hope that, and you're sort of seeing it, they're getting more consistency. They're getting the lineups they want. And I think that's been, for me, maybe my favorite thing from Lindy Ruff so far in his return is that he is not coddling these guys. That's a word that Paul Hamilton's used a lot to describe how this team has been treated the last 2 or 3 years under Granato. Instead, now it is much more of a, no, I don't care that you guys are technically the youngest team in hockey. You've been here and done this.
Are you?
Now it is time for you to perform. And I also put that on Rasmus Dahlin.
Yes.
I did not see most of the game last night. Obviously, I was watching other things that went on. That's why I was up to like 2 in the morning. But I saw a lot of people upset at Ottawa's one goal and how he just kind of was in la-la land, it appeared. That he was frustrated at somebody else.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of not even paying attention to someone coming up on his backside.
I'm not trying to cut him any slack here, but if I'm remembering the goal correctly, it was one of those goals where...
I think it's more that the shot on net happened.
Yeah.
The goal itself is more lucky, a lot like Thompson scoring with his head.
I don't even know if you... yeah, basically, he scored with his back of his hand. Tuck shoots it, and it goes off the back of Thompson's hand. That's the only reason Thompson gets that goal. But if I'm remembering correctly, and I'll look at the highlight in a little bit here, but the goal was kind of a shot, and then the player can collect his own rebound.
Yep.
And it was just Lukanen was out of position because he just made a save. So it was Dahlin should have cleared that puck or should have not let the first shot happen in the first place.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's kind of one of those just fluky, unlucky goals. But it's definitely one where you would expect the defense to bail your goaltender out.
Yeah, you want better from Dahlin. That's the key part. He's your captain, and to be fair, up to this point, he hasn't had a very convincing season.
Right, and he did hit his 300 point plateau last night, which good for him, I think.
Absolutely.
I think that was it last night, but because they were talking about him on the broadcast with his assist numbers and things like that. But overall, it's again a consistency thing. I mean, he's got to be able to be better in his own end. Yeah, he hit 301 last night. Actually, he had 2 assists. So, in the points department, he's doing great.
I am looking at some of these teams though in the Eastern Conference, and just mainly goal difference. Boston -12.
Yeah, they got shut out by the Maple Leafs last night for the first time in like 8 years, or 8 games, I should say. Sorry.
It
kind of feels like 8 years, yeah. But.
And they did that without Austin Matthews. I mean, they smoked them 4-0. Really a contest.
I'm looking at the Rangers right now because that's the Sabres' next game. They play tomorrow in MSG. They're going to face Shesterkin, in my opinion. It's not confirmed yet or anything like that, but the Rangers have not played since Sunday.
Oof.
Are you a person where you look at that, and specifically in hockey, because I know it's different amongst different sports, but specifically in hockey, do you prefer the long break or do you despise it?
I think for me personally, and that's the thing too, I think the athlete I was, mm-hmm. I hated the long wait.
Me too.
I always liked in high school, our swim meets were Tuesdays and Fridays.
Right.
And
yeah,
there wasn't
a nice little.
Yeah, it wasn't 1 meet a week. You know, you had the two championship season two. You had the big meet 1 week, and then the next weekend. It wasn't like you had to go through this like long stretch. Yeah. And that's where I think too, it was always sort of this thing that you hear talked about when a team sweeps somebody in the playoffs, and then their eventual opponent
sweeps them or beats them easily.
Or has to go 7 games, and you're just sitting there going, you guys going to hurry this up? We haven't played in forever.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then, like I said, you go into the next round and you either get swept or it's like a 5-game series.
Yep. So, I mean, that could be something that's a positive for the Sabres, having played, have played 2 games
Yeah, since. So the Sabres played yesterday and
Saturday.
On Saturday. So they have played more games in the past 5 days than the Rangers, yep. If you want to look at it that way. But I look at the Rangers and how they are as a team. They're 8-2-0, which is fantastic.
They're fun. They're good.
Or 8-2-1, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. They have a +20 goal differential. Yeah, mostly good. Because of Igor Shesterkin, I think.
Yeah, they've only given up 24 goals.
Yeah, they have outscored teams fairly decently. They put up 6.
Is that the best?
They put up 11 in their first 2 games. So, and then they put up 7 on Montreal at the end of October.
Like that is quite convincingly the best in the league in terms of their goal difference, or in terms of goals allowed.
Yeah. So that's going to definitely be something. But at the same time, you have a young, hungry Sabres team who looks to be going more towards the accountability that Lindy Ruff is looking for. I mean, again, we just talked about the Sabres coming off these long losing streaks, or the back and forth of mm-hmm. of losing 3, winning 3, and all that goes into that. But you come off of these wins like last night, and it's like, just do that every night. How hard is it to be able to go out there and play like that?
And you're starting to see that, though. I mm-hmm. think their biggest issue has been the inability to get anything from two of your young forwards, and Dylan Cousins and Jack Quinn. I think that has been a major issue for them going forward, because they're getting the depth scoring. Your top line's been fantastic.
I was going to say, because you have
awesome. Paterka's been great. Thompson's back on like a 55-goal pace.
Yeah, and you have guys like Zucker, McLeod, mm-hmm. and Greenway stepping up. Like you just said, the bottom 6 scoring, that's been great. The fourth line has been exactly what Lindy wanted it to be in terms of we're going to go in there and we're going to cause problems for the other team. Might not score a goal, but
we're going to cause problems.
Frustrate them. And that's great. That's exactly what you need out of a fourth line. You might get a goal here and there, but that's mm-hmm. not what they're there to do. And that's something that fourth line on the Sabres team has not done in a long time. Since the old days of you remember the log line? Larson, Okposo, Gergensen.
Love the log line.
That was the closest we've gotten to what you need out of a good bottom 6 checking
alone.
Line.
I love them for vibes alone.
And I look at, you know, the Sabres coming off a win like that and the Rangers coming off of this long rest mm-hmm. of you don't know how teams are going to react to that. Granted, they were at home. They were playing the Islanders, so really they wouldn't have been away even if they were away. Mm-hmm. But they're at home against the Islanders and the Senators their last 2 games. So they haven't really left New York. They're still not gonna. And they're also on this long break. So one, that could be beneficial, but two, that could be bad. We've seen teams come off these breaks and, you know, come out slow. So I hope that that's the case for the Sabres' sake. But at the same time, I hope the Sabres can ride their momentum into tomorrow night. I think it'd be very easy to come off a 5-goal win and say, yeah, here we are. We're back. Let's go. And they've always played the Rangers pretty decently, I feel like. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember not last year. It was 2 years ago when Lukanen kind of had his coming out party of like this, here I am. And they forced overtime against the Rangers and got a crucial point at that point in the season. So, at the very least, just get a point against these guys. And I think that'll really help you out just in terms of momentum.
I think how they're playing, though, gives me a little bit more in terms of both the power play, the 5-on-5 scoring, what have you. It does give me at least a little bit of hope going into New York. Again, you said, you're probably playing Shesterkin. They've given up only 24 goals so far this year, although I think they've only played 11 games, too. So, you know, they've got a little bit of the games against advantage. But
yeah.
Still, that's pretty comfortable. I think the second best team in terms of goals against right now is Winnipeg.
Winnipeg is crazy.
Is like, I gotta ask Paul about them because he mentions like the best teams in hockey, and I'm not hearing Winnipeg yet.
They're 12-1.
They're 12-1.
They have 62 goals for.
Yeah,
that is the best in the league by 12. The next closest is Vegas with 54.
So I mean, like.
That's nuts.
They're the next closest in goals against, 30 to, again, the 24 by New York or by the Rangers. But hearing those power play stats and them being now sixth best in the league through these last five games and such, and this includes a Detroit game in which they scored one goal and they were essentially a non-factor on offense. Mm-hmm. It gives me a little bit of excitement here going forward of, okay, maybe you can push the envelope against them, and maybe you could. They play well against some of these teams, surprisingly.
Like the good teams, yeah.
It's Florida and Boston that they've typically, like, of the quote-unquote good teams, that they really just never played against. And Carolina
for sure.
But, like, those were the teams that they were good, and it's like, oh, and they're going to make you look terrible.
Like, right.
But everyone else, they would get up for these games. Vegas specifically, you know, you always kind of see them have a really good game against Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
If they can just string a few good games here again and then just never really drift away, yeah, it's frustrating, but I do think you have a GM that is maybe feeling the heat a little bit on his seat. And you've already – Elliot Friedman's 32 Thoughts, I think, from last week, talked about him being one of the most active GMs already.
Yeah.
And then seeing the second line not performing, I could see – not necessarily trading Jack Quinn or Dylan Cousins, but making a trade and going, no, this needs to be better.
Yeah, getting a piece to not replace them, but replace them in the lineup in a sense.
And to be honest, the way I hear Lindy Ruff talking, I cannot see him being okay with just standing pat.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he came in to build credibility, not just in the coaching staff, not just on the team, but in everything. Kevin Adams was always kind of seen as like, they brought him in sort of weird circumstances. And while I've loved what he did with the scouting department and drafting, what have you.
Oh, for sure. I mean, drafting is off the charts in terms of what you've gotten out of the last 13 years of this drought. There's a reason why this drought has lasted so long. It's because of poor drafting.
Yes. That's been one of the major pieces. But I think he's overall brought credibility. And Ruff has the gravitas enough within the organization that if he wanted them to go make a move, mm-hmm. I feel like he would. And just, again, the way he talks in the postgame and stuff, I've loved it because it's an entirely 180 from what we heard under Granato. If he's going, these guys aren't good enough. We need to go get somebody. I feel like he...
That'll carry weight.
I think it carries more weight than most. And mm-hmm. that's
more weight than a lot of the recent head coaches. I mean, you could probably go all the way back to Dan Bylsma and say, after Bylsma, any sort of conversation like that from the head coach would have just been like, okay.
We're going to see what we can do.
Well, we'll see what we can do, Ralph. We'll see what we can do. Like
Don.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I look at what these guys have had over the past few years in terms of coaches, and it's just like, you didn't have that. Well, yes, Lindy is a great hockey mind, but you didn't have that guy that just, hey, you're not playing well, and you're going to hear about it. It was never that sort of mindset.
It was nice for 6 months as they were like the true young growing team, but for the message to never change. And you're seeing now, it seemingly has like had to have been like ripped out of these guys, that mindset and what have you. And most, if not all, of these players talk about wanting accountability. I've liked what I've seen from the top line in terms of the forwards. You're seeing growth from guys like Owen Power, what have you. Bowen Byram had two goals last night. I thought mm-hmm. I thought he's looked pretty darn good all year.
Real quick, that pass from Ryan McLeod to Bowen Byram.
I love him.
The sauce pass from McLeod was, if you looked at it on the ice level of how high off the ice it was, it was probably at Ullmark's eyes.
Yeah.
And he got it up high enough and then down to McLeod.
It was perfect.
For a perfect one-timer. It's just, where...
And I'm
where McLeod, is that better?
I'm McLeod, and you mentioned Zucker earlier today, too.
Mm-hmm.
That should give Adams confidence.
Yeah, right.
To make trades.
That's a...
Not just trades, but to bring in guys. Because mm-hmm. they've nailed it.
With Zucker. And with McLeod.
And McLeod, I think, has been a home run.
And honestly...
Zucker's been really good, and even Beck Malenstein and Sam Lafferty on your fourth line has looked really good.
It's taken some time, but... Greenway's the same way.
Mm-hmm. It should give you confidence of, you know what, I can do, I don't want to make it sound like he's, you know, a kid that like needs that little like, you know, kick on the behind to be like, yeah, you got this. Like, no, he's a grown man. He gets this.
It does help.
I think it's the human element of, I can do this.
And that's where it also earns him credibility in terms of, he was for the first few years, it's, oh, this guy's a new GM, and
he's not doing anything. His big move is getting rid of a player that everyone knew wanted out.
Right, and all the other GMs in the league, kind of, whenever you are a new GM, it's got this sort of, I don't even know what you want to call it, but like the other GMs kind of look at you, especially the long tenured guys, like a Lou Lamoriello,
mm-hmm.
look at you and just like, okay, well, you're new, cool.
Yeah.
What can I steal from you? Yeah, essentially,
you're not part of this old boys club.
Right. Exactly. But now that you've made a few good signings, a few good trades, I think you're starting to see that credibility build and the confidence, because it's one of those things where you got to have the good connection between him and the coach, and then him and the owner. And I think that's there, but now it needs to translate into, okay, we can all work together here to make a good move.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it happened this offseason, and we just haven't seen it fully yet.
Yep. 803-0550 is the number to call. We're opening up phone calls here in this first hour. Going to be a little bit of a packed 11 o'clock hour, though. Kevin Bowen of 1075, The Fan over in Indianapolis, he'll join the show. I mean, the Colts have been a wild story. I'd want to talk about them even if the Bills weren't playing them this weekend. And then 1130, Sal Capaccio. Bills stay, for the most part, pat in terms of trades yesterday, but a few roster moves, and even today, Mary Kay Colbert announcing that, or reporting that Quentin Jefferson coming back to the Bills. He did play with Buffalo back in 2020.
Veteran safety Mike Edwards is on his way to the Titans.
And then Edwards, he gets cut yesterday. He signed with the Titans today, and then Dwan Smoot going to IR. So a lot from the Bills, not necessarily on the trade end, but they're doing a lot of stuff. Sal's going to join us at 11:30. But looking for your calls now, 803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
You know, I've probably been more patient than I've ever been, just trying to figure these guys out. But there's a standard you have to play to, and the standard hasn't been good enough. And other guys have sat. I met with both players today. I discussed what is acceptable and what will work if you're in the lineup. If you're not, I thought the guys that have stepped in have done a good job.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Mint, Northtown Automotive X Point Show. Love that from head coach Lindy Ruff there.
I think it's really telling that he sat down a guy like Matias Samuelson. Henry Okihari, too, because he's been such a main fixture in this lineup. Not necessarily mm-hmm. in a good way, but just in terms of he was always in the lineup, unless he was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Samuelson. I mean, those are two key figures of the Sabres last, 4 years that have been part of this team.
Yeah.
But, I mean, man, Samuelson has been unplayable.
Yeah.
It's been rough. And I don't want to see him
kind of fall away.
Fall away, yeah. And I think a big part of it's injuries. But at the same time, if he needs something like this to sit him down and kind of give him a wake-up call,
mm-hmm.
perfect. But that was something you were never going to get until now. You needed something like this under Granato, where he would sit down players like Quinn and Samuelson and Yoki Haru. And there's other players too, but you didn't ever see that.
No.
You only had him sit because they were injured. And that was the frustrating part.
And that was really about it. Sabres do play again tomorrow night, MSG against the Rangers. Of course, a normal 7 p.m. puck drop. Although they do have a 7:30 game coming up here soon, which I hate immensely.
They do?
I don't like 7:30 puck drops at all.
I like 6:30 puck drops. They did that once last year, and I was like, this is great.
It's kind of cool. Yeah,
it's
a little different.
It's just kind of like you get out that much earlier. Oh, it's against the Blues. Oh, it's an ESPN game. That's why.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think it is. It looks like it is.
NFL trade deadline was yesterday. Bills, as you mentioned there at the end of the last segment there, didn't really do anything in terms of trades. They were, though, active in terms of just roster moves. And now it seems like they're bringing in Quentin Jefferson. That's coming initially from Mary Kay Colbert. She's a reporter out in Cleveland. And that's where Quentin Jefferson was. He's had a lot of stops, though, post his Bills time. That he was here for 1 year. That was in 2020. I remember him being okay. It more kind of seems like Dwayne Carter / Dwan Smoot replacement. Like, we just got to bring this guy in. We'll have this work. Nothing yet on Jordan Phillips, though, which, Josh, I don't know if you saw his Instagram yesterday.
I did.
Seemed like he was coming here, and then nothing.
Well, so he got released by the Cowboys.
Yeah, and then like 20 minutes later on his Instagram was like, let's roll it back with him and like the Bills. Now I'm almost wondering, like, was that him just making a sales pitch?
Maybe. That's kind of a good point. But I also wonder if it's there's not like a waiting period or anything, but is it a the two sides are trying to figure out some kind of money situation, or was it the Bills were focused on one thing and then they got to shift to him?
It's going to be interesting. So, fun enough, Quentin Jefferson usually spends like just 1 to 2 years on teams.
Really?
Fifth round pick out of Maryland in 2016 to Seattle, spends 1 year there, then goes to the Rams. Goes back to Seattle from 2017 to 2019, and then we're on the one-year train again. Bills 2020, Raiders 2021, Seahawks again 2022, New York Jets 23, and then Cleveland Browns 24.
Wait, you said he spent 1 year in Seattle and then went back?
Yep. And then after 2019, he will eventually go back to the Seahawks in 22.
Oh, I see the Rams one.
My goodness, three stints with
them. He was signed by the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
On September 3rd of 2017, he was released by the Rams on September 14th. Or no, he was released, and then he was placed in the practice squad on September 14th.
Oh, okay.
And then October, they released him, and then the same day the Seahawks signed him.
Goodness gracious.
So he didn't even play for the Rams. He was just there. He was just there.
Practice squad member. He's made a lot of stops, and usually does like 1 to 2 years. That's stressful. He's been in the league every year since 2016. But he has yet to really like...
He's got 27 and a half sacks, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's been fine. I have no problem with it. Again, just... I would have liked them to make a move on the defensive line. I get they...
Technically, that is a move.
Yeah.
Not a trade, though. I know what you mean. It's just... But at the same time, after the Za'Darius Smith move, I don't really think there was much out there that they were interested in.
Trey White, by the way, he got moved yesterday.
Good for him.
I don't know if I'm necessarily saying good for him.
Really?
Two seventh-round picks, one of which is in 2027.
I'm more so looking at just getting to the Ravens because I think, I mean, I heard a...
You hope he can maybe get a ring.
Yeah, but I heard a clip from Lewis Riddick this morning on Trey White going to the Ravens, and he was saying, not to his detriment, but that Trey White is a systems... He fits their system. Not saying he's a systems cornerback, but like...
But he fits what they do.
He fits what they do because of where he's at in his career and what he did when he was with the Bills. He didn't really fit what the Rams had.
I feel for him because I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, he fell a long way. But a large in part due to injuries, which sucks. I mean, he was my favorite player on the Bills when he was here. Like, he still is one of my favorite players in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But when he was here, it was the Trey White Goalie Academy. It was all of his antics on and off the field of just being a great person and funny guy. And also just his play. I mean, 7 interceptions. Come on. Yeah. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope the best for him. Also, don't really know because he's on the Ravens.
I say that with the Rams. I'm like, cool, you're in the NFC. Like, if we meet, it's in the Super Bowl. Now it's like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah, now it's like, you know.
Not his choice, but here we are.
If they got to play the Rams, it's like you might, you know, break streams a little bit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I said, if he does get there, he's one of the former Bills that I would love to see get a ring.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think he deserves it.
Oh, 100%. His career just frustrated by because injuries ultimately derailed it completely.
Talking on the rest of the trade deadline, because I know we're kind of talking around the trade deadline here. Obviously, the Bills didn't do much, but someone else in the AFC did. And for some people, that's making them shoot up their like power rankings, if you will. The Steelers traded for...
Pittsburgh!
Steelers traded for Mike Williams, and everyone's like, oh, they're going to rival the Chiefs. And I'm like, wait a minute. You have George Pickens and Mike Williams.
The Mike Williams move doesn't move me. The Preston Smith move, though.
Yeah?
Not really. No.
I was going to say, really? Really?
It's still Pittsburgh. Doing the reverse AFC power rankings yesterday with Shelton Bulldog.
Mm-hmm. Had that trade gone down yet?
Yeah. Pretty much all of the trades.
Okay. Oh, right. Because it was,
It was more, though, like, who would you rather play in the playoffs? Like, the Chargers or the Steelers? For me now, right now, it is the Chargers. I think they are getting themselves going. You've got Justin Herbert there. I will say, and I want to make sure I get the week right in terms of when they did play, Pittsburgh did beat the Chargers. That was week 3, 20-10. I would take the Chargers right now over Pittsburgh. I would. I think you're getting stuff out of Herbert. You're finding out what you have in Ladd McConkey. They're getting Quentin Johnston going, which is insane.
So why would you take them? If all these players are getting rolling.
Sorry. In terms of the rankings, in terms of who I play in the playoffs, Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Sorry, I misread that. I would play Pittsburgh.
I was going to say you're talking these guys up, and then you're saying you want to play them in the playoffs. I was going to say the answer is a slam dunk. It's Pittsburgh. Like
I'd rather
the Steelers.
Play Pittsburgh.
While Russell Wilson is getting better, the Steelers are just one bad drive away from just shelling up because that's what I think is you know, Mike Tomlin's like go-to is like, you know, if the team's rolling, let them do their thing. But if you have one bad sign, that team just kind of, okay, we just gotta get
it's not even
fall back on
sign.
The defense and
yeah, it's more they fall back on the defense. I've liked how Russell Wilson's playing. I haven't necessarily loved it by any means.
It's better than Kenny Pickett.
It's better than Kenny Pickett.
It's almost better than Justin Fields.
The passing game is better than Justin Fields.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
But yeah. I'm not at a point where I'm sitting here going, oh man, here they come. No,
they still are that team though, where they could just ruin your season in the wild card round. I mean, they will never not be that team.
I don't know if they are, though, in all honesty. I don't know if I'm there, like, in terms of, like, thinking, like, they're the team that's going to ruin it for me. I look at a team more like the Bengals or the Chargers. They get into the wild card where you're like, oh, man, we got to play them. Right. Like, I don't really want that at all.
Well, because that's what the Steelers were for years, and I think they could be back to that point. But last year, everyone was kind of saying that about them, and then the Bills went out there and whooped them.
Like, let's look at their last three wins.
Yeah, the Steelers.
Vegas.
This is the Steelers.
Yeah, this is the Steelers. Okay. Vegas, 32-13. They're lost in the desert. They have no idea what they're doing.
Literally lost in the desert.
The Jets.
Sure, yeah.
And the Giants.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, like...
Those are nothing wins.
And I don't like poking and prodding at a schedule because you play who you play.
Right. Yeah, you can't really control that.
But let's not also crown a team who we've all kind of seen as like, they're okay. They're solid. They're good.
I think it's fair to look back when Fields was quarterback. They beat Denver, they beat Atlanta, and they beat L.A.
They did.
They also lost to Indianapolis.
They did. And Dallas.
And Dallas, which take that with what you will.
And to be fair, Atlanta, you take current Kirk Cousins, Atlanta's probably beating them.
That's fair, because Atlanta did take
Denver,
some time.
Denver, that's Bo Nix's second career start. I'm not saying they're perfect. I mean, Baltimore blew them out.
It was 13-6.
That could be interesting. And like I mentioned, the current Chargers team where Ladd McConkey's kind of developed into something that they really like there. And you got Quentin Johnston. They got those wins early. I mean, again, you play who you play, and they got those good wins.
Yeah.
But like Dallas looks like a bottom five roster right now, and they lost.
And they're hurt.
Indianapolis. I don't know what's going on there. We're going to talk to Kevin Bowen here coming up in just about 15 minutes. I'm excited for that conversation because I do not know what's going on with the Colts.
But you're also...
And then you beat three bad teams.
Yeah, and then you look at their upcoming games. They have Washington, Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati. Washington...
Is anyone going to be surprised if they go 1-3 in that four-game run?
I think they might go 0-4.
0-4 would be a little surprising only because of Cleveland.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston, I love when he plays the game of football, mainly because it is just flat-out entertaining. He will either throw 400 yards and three touchdowns, or he will throw four picks.
He might do both.
Yeah, I was just saying, even in the fun game, he's probably throwing picks that should be intercepted. Or he's throwing passes that should be intercepted.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, Washington should steamroll them, especially with adding Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, that's just a great trade from them.
I'm really liking
so Washington. Good from them. I love that they're just getting after it, too, because it was very much this, oh, well, you know, let's see how Jaden Daniels goes. Oh, they're really good.
Yep.
And then you also obviously have Baltimore, and then Cleveland... That toss-up game. But Cincinnati, I mean, they're coming to life. I think they should probably handle the Steelers. But they always play each other weird.
Even like just go past Cincinnati. They click Cleveland again, sure. But then at Philadelphia. Yeah, take what you will with Philly. They are a talented team. I think they're poorly coached, but they are talented.
And right now, I mean, I saw a thing. I think it was on ESPN. Are the Eagles winning in spite of?
Yes. The answer is yes. Then they get at Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati. That is a tough road to finish out the season.
Oh, I forgot. They're the Netflix Christmas game this year.
Well, that ruined my holidays. Great.
You don't have to watch it.
What else am I going to do?
Open gifts? Spend time with your family?
I do that in the morning. Spending time with my family? We're all in front of the TV.
Yeah,
all
right.
Watching That's sports. Fair. That's what we're going
to
do.
You don't go in? You all stay at your house and everyone comes to your house?
No. We go out to my aunt's house.
Yeah, see? So just plan your
drive. Then the TV will be on and we're all watching sports.
Watch basketball.
That's something. I'm not typically a basketball guy in terms of the regular season. I love NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
But like Christmas was NBA's day. And then the NFL's like, it's ours now. And then they put the Chiefs and the Ravens on again. And a part of me, working in this industry and having to work a lot of Thanksgivings immediately when I got here.
Well, no, it's Chiefs and Steelers.
They have two games. Chiefs and Ravens both are playing on Christmas again. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, in a row? 2 years in a row?
Yeah, what are we?
Come on.
No.
Ugh. I'm not a huge fan of it.
No.
Not a huge fan of it at all.
I also don't. I never want the Bills to play on Christmas. Nope. I don't know if you're that way, but I just I don't want that.
I don't. I'm not gonna lie. After like one Thanksgiving game, like the Dallas game for the Bills, I was like, all right, I'm done. I'm good with no Thanksgiving games ever again. I didn't even work that one. That was before I worked.
Well, it's
here.
Not even working it. It's just like that's like there's a lot of pressure because it's not only just an important game, but it's just. It's a holiday.
It also
everyone expects
like,
an incredible performance, and then if you lay a dud, everyone's like, yep, they're not going to do anything this
year. And I just remember it's like, all right, guys, like, I mean, like, they're in the 4 o'clock window. Like, do we have dinner early? Do we have dinner later? And everyone's like, no, we're doing it early. We're going to just get this out of the way, and then we're going to get ready for this. And ultimately, it was a great day, but I remember the lead-up to that game was like, this could be bad, right? Like, because we weren't used to winning yet. It's 2019. We were not used to that yet at all. All right, it is Wash and Fold Wednesday. The Bills are taking on the Indianapolis Colts, and man, it has been a wash at the quarterback position since the retirement of Andrew Luck just a few weeks before the 2019 season. Question of the day, how many starting quarterbacks have the Colts had since the retirement of Andrew Luck right before the 2019 season? First caller at 716-221-4WGR. That's 716-221-4947. With the correct answer, wins a $100 gift card to Top Shelf Wash and Fold Laundromat. Drop off your laundry dirty and pick it up clean and packaged for you. Complete laundry services from a coin laundromat. Top Shelf Laundromat, because we all deserve the best, with 3 locations, Depew, Williamsville, and Tonawanda. Going to be right back after a quick timeout. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll get more on the Colts as Kevin Bone of 1075 The Fan joins the show. You're listening to WGR. And Fold Wednesday trivia question, Dave in Lancaster. The question, of course, being how many starting quarterbacks have the Indianapolis Colts have had since the retirement of Andrew Luck right before the 2019 season? The answer was 10.
10 is
we will go
bad.
Through them here. They had 2 in 2019. Jacoby Brissett played 15 games. Brian Hoyer played 1.
Which one? Was it like early on or like later?
It was. Let me grab that because I just had that up. That was a week.
Was it right after Luck got hurt? I feel like he came in right away and then they signed Brissett from somewhere or traded for Brissett.
Brissett was already there.
Oh, okay.
So this is week 10, November 10th against the Miami Dolphins. It is a loss for them 16-12 and Hoyer goes 18-39, 204, 1 touchdown, 3 picks.
That's. It's not great.
No, it's bad.
But for Brian Hoyer.
Fair. 2020, we all kind of know this one. Phillip Rivers, Bills end up playing them in the first playoff game in Highmark Stadium with fans in it in a long time. Awesome to see that. 21 is Carson Wentz. 22.
I thought you were about to disrespect my boy Carson Wentz.
Well, that was kind of the last run for him.
Don't. No.
22, 3 quarterbacks, Matt Ryan, Sam Ehlinger, and Nick Foles. And then 2023, Gardner Minshew for most of the season, Anthony Richardson being their first-round pick, though, played 4 games. And then Richardson being the first quarterback to start multiple games in back-to-back seasons, started games this year. And then Joe Flacco has so far started 3 games this year. They have just been
all over the place.
Oof. I mean, they're quickly ascending towards like those Cleveland Browns. The jerseys with all the names on them from like 20 years. They're getting close to that. They're getting really close to that. To have 10 starting quarterbacks in what, a 5-year run? Oof.
Yeah.
And you've had guys start full seasons.
Oh, yeah. It's not even like they're it's not like how the Browns have been, where it's like you play a few games. It's like, nope.
And this guy goes in. Like, I mean, they're getting to that now, mainly due to injuries and then whatever's going on with Anthony Richardson. I'm very excited to talk to Kevin Bowen about that because outside looking in, it feels more like a character issue than playing issue. So we'll see on that.
Are we going to see Sam Ehlinger again? He's still on the roster.
Is he?
Yeah, he's right behind. He's the
probably not.
I think we
probably
should.
Not.
I think we should. If Joe Flacco goes down, if Joe Flacco goes down, skip right over Anthony Richardson. Bring me Sam Ehlinger.
Skip right over him. That's
teach
tough.
Him.
That'd be tough.
Hey, if it is a character thing, that would really teach him.
That would be tough.
Come on. You're telling me you wouldn't want to see another Texas alum get active?
I mean, I loved Sam at Texas. Like, he ran like a linebacker at quarterback. It was a lot of fun. But, like, let's not do that. We don't got to do that again. 803-0550 is the number to call. We will now get more on the Indianapolis Colts after a quick timeout. Kevin Bone of 1075 The Fan joins the show next. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.